before I introduce our guest today, always good to see you, sir.
Yeah, man. What's up?
Hey, man, just grinding along. It's very, very rare that my brain is fried, but you've seen a glimpse of it.
Yeah, we were a little scatterbrained.
Just for a hot second, man. Charged in my head, not my heart.
There it is.
So the basis of this entire show is...
Well, hold on. Before we go there, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. A lot of things, not even in the pipeline now. Now at this point, we are approaching getting things across the finish line.
And we're going sizzling.
Yeah, we'll go sizzling. Absolutely, we will.
Sizzling.
Absolutely, we will.
We going sizzling. But
I'm good, man. A lot of stuff that I've been working on, and I mean, you know my plight, if you will. Starting to really like see the light on a lot of different fronts, and hard work does pay off. Consistency, stick-to-itiveness. I know it's not a real word, but just diligence and having a mindset, which is apropos of like one way or the other, we're going to get this done, is proving to be true, just on a lot of fronts. So yeah, I'm in a good spot. How about you?
Yeah, you know, shout out to you because that's amazing.
Thank you, sir.
For me, you know, I'm in the season of visualization, right? And I know I've spent a lot of time in prayer, meditation. You ever seen a lion get ready to go on an attack or a cobra that's about ready, you know, it's fully coiled and ready to strike?
Mm-hmm.
That's my position right now. So I've got some things that are lined up, and I'm waiting for the right moment to attack.
I dig it. I dig
it's
it.
Coming, and it's going to be a sight to see. I'm excited.
So that said, the basis, the core tenets of this show is all about growth mindset. You know, some people call it a can-do attitude. Just at every turn, trying to be better or do better at whatever it is that your pursuits in life are,
yeah.
Right? Today's guest has discovered us as far as the show is concerned. I've known him now for almost like 2 years now, probably almost 2 years. And it's funny how you're around the people you're supposed to be around. Mm-hmm. It just works out that way. And he is a big proponent of growth mindset and all the tentacles that's kind of splinter off of that. He is a native of Jackson, Michigan, not Mississippi, but Jackson, Michigan. He is a graduate of Michigan State University. He is the co-founder of Atwell's Home Investors. Please welcome Mr. Wes Atwood to the Vision Lab podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends. Appreciate it.
What up?
How are you, sir?
Appreciate it. Doing good. Thank you for the invite, man. I appreciate it.
So, backdrop, right? So, I met Wes, and this is like right on the back end of COVID. I met him like two and a half years ago when we were kind of starting to get off of our 22nd timeout that you said God gave to us.
Full timeout.
Right. Yeah, it turned to a full timeout. And we worked on something. It didn't quite come to fruition through nobody's fault. It was just timing just wasn't right. And then lo and behold, as you know, unfortunately, you know, my wife lost her mom, you know, a couple months ago. He happened to call me the day before we were coming back up after the funeral service. And I said, hey, you know, I'm coming back from a funeral. He was like, cool, no problem. Like, just call me when you get back in town. I have something. We need to talk. Sure enough, called him, got back home, got settled. And he said, hey, I have this deal, such and such, such and such. And I said, it sounds very interesting. And we talked about a whole bunch of other things that day. And it just one of those things to where, like, we understand how each other thinks, if you will. And so he's been, you know, looking into the show and all that. And throughout the conversations he and I have had, I was like, Wes, you need to be on the show. And he was like, okay. So that is the quick version of how Mr. Atwood is on today's episode.
Well, I'm certainly excited. And, you know, Wes, I know that you speak the language of growth mindset. And prior to us starting today, you said I was born with it. So let's start there, right? You know, we live in a day and age where so many people have so many different distractions through social media, through regular media, et cetera, right? But how do you stay locked in and stay focused and still retain that growth mentality?
It's in the DNA.
There it is.
It's just in there. I guess the best way to explain it is kind of start from the beginning. So, man, I grew up in a blue-collar, Rust Belt town in Michigan. I guess the best way to explain that is just around people who just have grit. People that just have grit. People that just clench their teeth and get things done, and they do it for the money, of course, whatever it is that they're doing. But there's a level of pride, right, that they would finish a job regardless of whether they were going to make money on that thing just because their name was associated with it, right?
You feel like that's lost today?
I feel like it's definitely lost today. Yeah, and to the point where I'm pretty involved with the school board in the area where I live, and they're teaching grit. They're teaching grit as part of the curriculum. Hmm. They have to teach it in school.
I know. That's crazy.
So, that, I mean, it's still out there. Grit is not completely lost. But anyway, I mean, that's kind of the backdrop. And I guess the growth mindset, the first teacher that I can remember that really locked in on it was my eighth grade gym teacher, Mr. Miller.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Miller was kind of tough, man. He was kind of tough. He was probably 60 years old, and he was the dude that just wore like the fitted T-shirt and the gray sweatpants.
Of course,
like he was probably like old school Marine.
Yeah,
and he instilled this way of thinking from eighth grade. I'll never forget. He would literally just look at you and be like, "There are no excuses. There are no excuses. You didn't finish on time for your run. There are no excuses. You didn't lift what you were supposed to lift to meet your criteria. There are no excuses." And that opened my eyes. I was like, no excuses. What does that mean? What does no excuses mean? I mean, there are always impediments. There are always hurdles. There are always challenges. What does no excuses mean?
You know, I was reading a book. It was an audio book, actually, about a month ago, and I can't recall it right now in this very moment. But at the end of the day, it's not whether you want it to. It's whether you did or you didn't. And it's very black and white. And I think we've really gone away from that.
Yep.
In society, it's, you know, everybody gets a participation award. We're so inclusive. And I'm not speaking against it per se, but I do think that in the wake of those type of, you know, decisions or the impact that it leaves behind is that we lose sight of you either got the job done or you didn't get the job done.
Right. And you can't say that in corporate America. You can't even hold people accountable for that.
Yeah.
So going back to Mr. Miller, man, I really thought there were no excuses. I really believed there were no excuses. And I'm 46 years old now. And to this day, those words now, what those words mean to me is when I'm doing a deal or when I'm working on a project or there's a deliverable on the line, no excuses means you control every variable that is within your ability to control to get the outcome that you anticipate, right? And those variables that are outside of your ability to control, you do your damn best to influence those variables. If you can't directly control them, then you do your best to influence. And I have a great mentor. I have he's a former professor at Michigan State University. I was his graduate assistant.
Go Sparty.
There you go. 20 years, he's been my mentor. And, he had a line that was not, it wasn't, there are no excuses. It was not that. He had a more graceful way of saying it. He said, you can't control the outcomes. You can only control the inputs that lead to the outcomes that you want.
Yeah.
Right? So you went to college. You guys both went to college. You know you can't make any one of your professors give you an A. You could rough them up a little bit, maybe encourage them. The point of the matter is you can control the factors that lead to that grade that you want, right? You turn in your work on time. You do it to a level of quality. You show up on time and take the test. you know. You don't miss too many classes if there's an attendance policy. These are all inputs that you can control that ultimately, if you do well, should lead to the outcome that you want, right? And the same happens in real estate deals. When we're selling a deal, you can control many of the inputs that lead to the sale that you want on the backside, right? Like you rehab a house and make sure that that thing looks
like it's been rehabbed.
Like it should, right? That you've touched all the critical portions of that house. You do your due diligence before you bought the house to make sure it's in an area where you know that you're going to be able to get your investment back out of it. So you can control all of the inputs that lead to the outcome that you want. Now, you can't make the professor give you an A. You can't make the buyer buy or submit an offer for the price that you want. But you can significantly improve the potential that would happen. That's what a growth mindset is to me.
And I completely agree. And I'm curious from your perch, do you think society nowadays looks at controlling the things that are uncontrollable more than controlling the things that are controllable?
I have personal feelings about this that, I think most people will do their best to try to make an excuse for why they didn't control the things that were definitely within their control. I think that that's been a shocking thing to learn over the years. Growth mindset. I think to have a true growth mindset, I just use the word true. To realistically have a growth mindset, you have to be concerned with truth. You have to be concerned with truth.
Because isn't truth objective?
There are some points of truth that are objective. Some people believe that you have a truth and I have a truth, and maybe there's some truth to that.
But there's some truth to that.
But at some point, like, it is an absolute fact when you're doing a real estate deal, for example, that you did or you didn't buy a house, right? That's true or it's not true. Mm-hmm. And there is a truth that you either hired or you didn't hire the GC to manage the project, right? Indisputable. And he either showed up and did what he was supposed to do or he didn't show up and do what he was supposed to do, right? And he either finished it on time or he didn't finish it on time. Those things are true or they're not true, right?
Okay.
Some GCs, just as an example, and we're talking a lot about real estate here, but it's just a metaphor, I guess, for life in general, will claim that they did show up. They were there. Well, what time did you get there? Because I was there and I didn't see you there. Well, you got there at 10:30 in the morning, really. And you did that for the better part of the entire project. And that's why the thing took 10 weeks instead of 7.5 that you told me it was going to take. Mm-hmm. So you have to concern yourself. This is a person who clearly doesn't have a growth mindset, right? He's not holding himself accountable. And is not willing to look at the scoreboard, because the scoreboard doesn't lie, right? You guys played sports. But people will get mad at you if you point at the scoreboard in life.
That's true.
People will get mad at you if you point at the scoreboard in life. And all I'm trying to do is talk about facts, right? This either happened or it didn't happen. I was there. You were there. Were we there at the same time? It was true or it wasn't true, right? I think to have a growth mindset, you have to be concerned with truth. And you have to know what the score is at all times. And you personally have to be willing to be held accountable, right? You can't have a growth mindset and not be willing to hold yourself accountable for doing what you said you would do when you said you would do it.
He and I speak the same language. Like, as we've gotten deeper and deeper into things, and You know what I'm working on, and it's one of those things to where I think one day he told me, he said, I admire your hustle, and he's like, you do what you say you're going to do. And in our business, that is 75% of it, right? There's the numbers part of it, but like he just said, are you where you're, are you where you're supposed to be when you say you're going to be there? Do you show up for said meeting? Do you make said phone call? Do you send said email? Do you follow up at the appropriate time? This, all these little things that are in your control, do you actually follow through on it?
And then, or from, do you talk them away? Or do you, why you couldn't do it? Why you couldn't do it?
So, got a flat tire, lost my hat, girlfriend broke up with me.
Swarm of bees.
Swarm of bees.
You know, it's super interesting, right? Because in the business world, I'm very much the same way. And you know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, right?
It's a zero-sum game.
85% of the growth mindset. Yeah. I think that's 85%.
But here's the trap that I fall into. And maybe you can coach me up on this. But let's say you and I are doing a deal, right? And I say, hey, Wes, you know, I'm going to call you at 9 o'clock. And then I call and you say, hey, listen, I'm tied up right now. I'll give you a call back in 30 minutes. Yep. Okay, so 9:30.
Yeah.
And I never hear back from you.
Yep.
I really start to go off the beaten path, and now I want to coach this person up, right?
Yep, yep.
I don't know why intrinsically I have this desire or need, feel like I feel this need to make sure that you need to understand that, you know, time is money and you're wasting it, right? Versus cutting ties and just moving on. Like, you know, I have a really, really big problem with that. Like, just say, if you're going to say something, do what you say you're going to do.
Yep.
So coach me up on, like, I know I shouldn't be focusing on that, or shouldn't get derailed. I don't want to say focus, but I shouldn't get derailed and kind of go down that path. Yep. But how do you handle those type of things?
Historically, not great. Historically, the same way.
Okay.
Historically, like, look straight into somebody's eyes and be like,
"You said
we doing a deal or we not doing a deal? What are we doing?"
And then they don't have the balls to say, "No, we're out."
No, they don't. Oh. They don't. Oh. And so
you're making my skin crawl right now.
I'm 46 years old right now. So I've done a little bit of living, and I have a great business partner. Shout out to Jeff Wells. Jeff Wells, he has a very different way of managing those scenarios, and his way of managing those scenarios starting to wear off on me, and it's good for me. And maybe this will help you. He says, "Man, when people don't follow up, don't do what they say they're going to do, we immediately pivot to our next thing. We have so much other stuff to do.
Yeah.
So many other people to connect with. Put them on the back burner." And I think that's a growth mindset as well. He's like, you know what? Move this thing aside. Keep moving forward with the plan and the strategy. Next up.
It definitely is. I mean, and I know it. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago. And I don't want to call it an epiphany, but it definitely was like the light bulb flickering. And it was a hard light that came on, right?
Yep.
What's for you is for you. You can press, pull, tie things. If it ain't for you, it ain't for you. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, I can allow that to permeate across multiple different areas in which I operate in, and understand that, hey, if Mo says he's going to call me at 9:30 and I never heard from him, similar to what your partner was talking about, pivoting, I don't know if I'd put them on the back burner, though.
Yeah.
Because now you don't follow through with what you said on something as small and minute as a callback. Yep. Or an appointment or whatever it is, right? And I don't want to engage with people like that, because you don't respect me or my time and the effort, energy that I will be putting into the deal or the opportunity or whatever it is, right? Yep. So, but what's for you is for you. So that's really good that, you know, your partner and yourself kind of share that mentality or that mindset.
I've spent some time with him and his partner. It's very... Like, people meet us and, like, we have a very yin and yang. He and his partner have the same dynamic.
It works.
Yeah, it works. Like, you have to have a counterpart who you respect, obviously, but you have to have the, hate to use the word balance because I don't know if there's a such thing, but you have to have that seesaw to where you can find that point where everybody can meet in the middle, if you will, and things get accomplished.
What's that convergence point, right? Like a Venn diagram. I mean, you are who you are and operate and function the way that you are, and I am the same way, right? But we have a convergence point in our Venn diagram where we overlap, and that's where the true magic happens. But it's, you know, let's just say it's 20% of what we are, right?
That's where the juice is made.
But that's exactly where the juice is made.
So I want to talk about, you just sparked a thought for me. So there's a book called, I think it's titled, What Got You Here Won't Keep You Here, right?
That's a big fact.
Yeah.
Big fact.
And it's fascinating. I listened to you guys' last podcast, and I loved it. Happy 40th birthday, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I love that you guys took a step back and we're thinking about the pivot. I love that. What a great age right now for that. And what a great time in the madness that's taking place in the world for the pivot. I've been thinking about the pivot, and I've been thinking about, so I could bore you and your listeners with my background and all of that kind of stuff. And if you guys are interested, I'm happy to share it. But I'm not poor. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But I was.
Mm.
And I've traveled a long distance from where I grew up in my hometown in that Rust Belt town. From living on government assistance to the way that I live today, it covered a lot of ground. And it was that growth mindset. It was that no excuses approach. It was, are we getting this thing done today or not getting this thing done today? Approach that got me through school. I played sports in school, had an opportunity to play basketball in college. It was the relentless, you know, they talk today about having grace for yourself.
Yep.
No grace for yourself. That was the mindset for decades, many decades. If you don't get up and operate today, whatever happens at the end of this week might not be good for you. No margin, margin in life. An example, if I wanted brownies and I go to the store and I get a box of brownie mix and the Betty Crocker chocolate to put on top of those brownies, my approach to life was, if I want these brownies, I better pay really good attention to how to make these things, right? Put the eggs in right. Not too many, not too few. Put the milk in. Put the oil in. Make sure that you follow the directions closely, because if you overbake these things and they don't come out right, there's no throwing these brownies away and going and get another group, you know, package of brownies. There was no margin for that. It was pay attention, because if you want the outcome, you got to make sure that the inputs are right. Right? Now I'm much, much further place in life, much different place in life. Have a wonderful, wonderful wife of 20 years and a beautiful daughter, 13 years old. And my daughter will never understand these things. She doesn't know anything about this. But what got me there, what got me to the place that I've reached in life, won't keep me there. Now I'm in rooms with different people. Now I'm in rooms where people want to be, they want to be entertained. They want to be, they want a Matthew McConaughey type figure to show up, and who's graceful and socially aware and engaging, more than they care about having a guy who will show up and look you in the eye and do what he says he will do. That's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing.
There's levels to this.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk to our listeners that, you know, life happens, mm-hmm. right? In your example of making the brownies, there's instructions that you should follow, and if you follow the instructions, you'll get the result.
And for most of life, it'll go that way.
Right.
If you just do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, most of life will turn out okay.
But let's say life happens, right?
Life does happen. It does.
Now, quick sidebar here. I think that the results that we get when, quote unquote, life happens is because of the inputs that we put in, right? And we don't want to take accountability or responsibility for those, but I digress. That being said, let's say in this example, you know, making the brownies, somehow or another, you get off track. You're now 40 years old or so. How do you get back on track? Because I think a lot of times we try to snuff the process, if you will, to catch up, right? Or to make up for lost time, so to speak. How are we able to get back on track and get back to the level where we should be? Or is it more of you got to start from where you are? Does that make sense?
So,
because a lot of times we want to shortcut it to get to where we're supposed to be.
Are you saying at middle age?
Middle age, 22, it doesn't matter, right? Like,
how do you get back on track?
Get back on track, because I think a lot of times what we'll do is we try to get back on track, but then we try to skip ahead to get to where we quote unquote should be.
Yeah,
right.
Is it skipping ahead, or is it that once you get off track, you realize, like, oh, this is where I messed up at. So then you figure out. So then you get yourself back on track. You're like, oh, I know exactly what it is I need to do. So it's not even trying to skip it. You just try to fast track because you know exactly the way you're supposed to be going.
Fast track it, skip it, whatever. However you want to look at it. Because if you do that, right, you're missing out. You understand what I'm saying? Or do you have the ability to say, okay, now I know I'm making these brownies in this example, right? I'll go ahead and preheat the oven to 350, 400, whatever it is, and I know I can do these steps and kind of skip these things to get the brownies done in time for the party or whatever it is. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're saying, how do you reroute when you've been off track?
Or should we be rerouting? And just stay the course, and you may be a little behind, but still work at that pace.
I think that so the word hack, I think, is overused these days.
That's an appropriate word right now.
I know, and there are definitely hacks in life. There are shortcuts that you can take that they're not shortcuts that I think undermine the quality of what you're trying to achieve. But I really do believe that there kind of is a value that if you've gone off course to going back to the place where you went off course and start right there.
Take it on the chin.
Right. I really do believe that. I mean, people don't want to do that. I can't say that I want to do that.
Right. And I think that's what happens is that people don't want to do that. And so they look for these hacks or shortcuts or try to circumvent, you know, the process, if you will.
Yep.
And then as a result, you're in a whole different place where you shouldn't really be. And now you got to operate from that space.
So there's a very famous book that does say, do not forsake the day of small beginnings.
Hmm. That's a fact right there.
Right.
Because you got to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. And it's the small beginnings when you start there when nobody's looking. Right. That's what you guys call the lab, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you get off track, I think it's important to go back to where you got off track and figure out how you got off track. I think you start from there. And I think if you're later on in life, there are ways that you can fast track that. And frankly, I think the way that you do fast track when you get off later in life is through your network. It's through those people who know you. They've seen you. They'll be like, yeah, I saw that. And now I'm going to plug you back in. I'll give you
that's real good.
I'll give you an example without using anybody's names. I have a best friend from high school who I moved to New York with their family to start a business, help them start a business. And they were the most successful people I knew. Fantastic, fantastic people. Fast forward 20-some years, they've lived a fine life. And my good friend ends up moving here to the Dallas area. And shortly after that, his parents moved down. So these are his parents are my good friends at this point because I helped them start this business. They move down to the Dallas area, and stuff goes sideways for them. They end up, one of them loses a job and gets sick. And they fall on hard times. They fall on hard times where they end up living in a like a rent-by-the-week kind of hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a fall from grace.
That's a fall from grace. And they made some bad decisions in the meantime. They made some bad decisions. And this is life, right? You said life happens.
Life happens.
And life happened.
But as a byproduct of the inputs that we put in prior to.
Right.
Yeah.
They made some bad decisions. And I let them live there for 1 year. I let them live in that rent-by-the-week hotel for 1 year. I let them live there. What do you mean you let them live there? I had the ability and the means to make it different. But I let them live there for a year. And after a year, I bought them a house and moved them into that house, and they lived there for 7 years. Their lives got straightened around, got healthy again, both working again, but they had lost some things, and they were not in a place to even be able to buy or to rent another house. So I'm saying this to say that it's the network. It's the network, once you get off track, that can help you fast track back on track.
And the lesson there also is you need to be the right person on your way up, because you don't know who you're going to see on the way down.
Demonstrated. That's right. That's for sure.
You know, if you're an asshole, or if they were an asshole to you,
yeah,
you know, while you were in New York helping to, yeah, you know, start this business.
Yeah. They were so good to me.
Right. But if they,
yeah,
weren't,
yeah,
you know, that year would have been, you might have turned a blind eye to them.
Yeah. Yep. So
that now, I'm curious though. You got to answer this. Why, yeah, did you allow them to stay for a year?
They made some bad decisions going in. You don't typically rescue people from their bad decisions. Like, they need to experience a little bit of the hardship of a bad decision.
Okay.
And maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me.
You know? If you're going to bankroll it, you get to make the decision, yeah, on how you want to do it.
Yeah. And everything turned out just fine. I mean, yeah, everything turned out wonderful. It was not a fun way for them to live for a year. But it changed everything.
It made them scrappy again, though.
It made them scrappy. It made them focus. A little humbling. And, man, the same thing could happen to me. The same thing could happen to any one of us, you know? So this brings me to another thought that I wanted to run by you guys. I'm really interested in running a thought by you guys. So you guys know what adolescence is, right? Mm-hmm. Adolescence. Tell me what adolescence is.
My rough definition of adolescence, that interesting period in life, you know, you're 12, 13 years old, I guess we can call it 17, 18 for round number's sake, where you're really, really starting to form your own opinions and your own outlook on the world and your environment, your life, and you start to really formulate how it is you're going to move and conduct yourself. Now, the interesting thing about adolescence is, depending on which direction you go, there might be a time where by the time you, that 18 to 25 period, you might have to adjust, yep, because the outlook you formulated during your adolescent years, when you get on the other side of that, you're like, hey, you know what? I might have been wrong. or there might be some things that I need to adjust or tweak about, whether it's yourself personally or just who you associate with, or just how you're just going about doing things, how you carry yourself. How you get down in life.
I would say adolescence is the process of growth toward adulthood.
That's a good way to put it. 100%. That's a nice bow to put on it.
Simple. Perfect.
But couldn't have said it better than either one of you guys. I want to float this term by you. Tell me if you've heard this one. Middlescence.
No.
I'll be quiet because you and I have talked about this. Go ahead.
I've not heard it, but, you know,
What does it sound like to you?
Would be you've had a chance to kind of live life a little bit, and you're evaluating. You've analyzed and realized shortcomings, you know, opportunities for growth or whatever, and you're reassessing, you know, 40 years old.
That's pretty much right on. So everybody's heard of the midlife crisis.
Yep.
Right? And middlescence is that time in your life where if you don't handle life right, you end up in a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Right? And it's that time in life where you're 15 or 20 years into a career, you've got real responsibilities. You might have kids, you might have aging parents. It's that time when you have the least margin in your life, right? I read this online post that said happiness in life is a U-shaped curve, right? And early on in your life, your happiness is really high and it bottoms out basically in midlife. And then it starts going back up again as you age beyond that. So this whole concept of middlescence, like in your career, man, when you were young in your career and you had a lot of energy and you had a lot of ideas and you just saw nothing but growth. You saw nothing but opportunity. Middlescence is that point in your career where now there are people coming up under you that are energetic and they've got energy and smart ideas. But you've got influence and you've got a long track record. It's that time in your life where some people pivot. And some people pivot for reasons that they didn't anticipate. They lost a job. They ended up having to take care of parents or whatever. I feel like we're in that stage.
Oh,
I'm in that stage right now.
Yeah.
Middlescence right now. And there's not a lot of people that are talking about it. There are not a lot of outlets for people to talk about it.
Well, it's known historically as midlife crisis.
Yeah, but right? It doesn't have to be a crisis. I think that the growth mindset in middlescence, I loved your guys' last episode of talking about the pivot. I really think that, in fact, I don't remember where I read this, but it was within the last week that a lot of times in life when you're 15 to 20 years in, it's the time for the pivot, right? So if you remember adolescence at 13 to however you got into your mid-20s, like you pivoted. At some point you had to stop messing around and being a fool, and you had to, and
so
you made
true.
A pivot and
yeah.
you grabbed onto a career
yeah
and you made you start making a life. Well, now you've made that life for the last 15 or 20 years. Now it's time to like re-educate, re-up, reinvent yourself. That's the pivot. That happens in middlescence.
You gonna write a book on middlescence? No, seriously, because I do agree with you in that it's not a subject matter that's talked about at least frequently. Or I don't, and that's actually the first time I've ever heard that term. So by virtue of that, there's got to be some.
There's some stuff that's been written about it. It's
okay,
just, it's not a lot that's been written about it.
Yeah, because it's been that section of life, like you said, it's been branded and stamped and. I'd use the term we've all been kind of brainwashed. Just call it midlife crisis, but you're right. It's middlescence.
And you know, if you really think about it, Mo, like that's kind of who the audience that we've been speaking to for the last 5 years has been. Is that, you know, hey, you've been working corporate and now you want to do your own thing. Here's some people that we've had on the show that can provide some personal anecdotes to hopefully implore you and excite you to move forward in your own, you know, vision or, you know, journey. But I don't know if we've really anchored on why that is important, right? So big shout out to you for that, because that's a big topic that I think we just kind of skirted around that, you know, that topic itself. We haven't really dove into that.
One of the reasons that I was super excited for an opportunity to chat with you guys is because I connect dots pretty quickly. And one of the things that that I saw that you guys are doing is your listeners are really, you have an opportunity to create that community. You've got the opportunity to, or you are creating the community of middle lessons. So people to sit down and talk about this thing and to figure out a way forward and to do it in a healthy way. You know, the stuff that you're talking about, changing the way going back to a different way of eating, what you're doing, you know, in terms of working out. We can just lose our way, man. We can lose our way if we don't have a community of people that talk about these kind of things and are actively kind of looking out for each other and trying to open doors for each other. Middle essence is where you can lose your way, man. Some people lose their way and they never find their way back.
Yeah, there needs to be a guide. There needs to be...
There is no guide. Nobody talks about it.
Yo.
Told you.
There are... I've met so many fine, like, men in my life, right? Like really astute gentlemen.
Shout out to the OG. Look at you.
Shout out to the OG.
Who just are wonderful people, smart, accomplished. And when you sit down and talk with them about whether they're satisfied with their lives, you start to realize that these are big, beautiful, beautiful oak trees providing stability and shade. But sometimes they're just dead on the inside. They've been doing the same thing for so long. They're looking for that new life. They're looking for that pivot. They're looking for the next thing. And I think that you guys are creating that community.
And I appreciate that. I think that's always been the undercurrent or undertone of the show. Yeah. But 5 years in, 215 or so episodes, wherever we are, it's really gratifying to hear that from you, because I think that needs to be a subject matter that's really explicitly discussed and talked about. Yep. So I, because you're giving me some ideas right now, Wes, and I think it'll be really good. I mean, we all need guidance, help, you know, support, because I don't believe, you know, a lot of people will say life is hard. I don't think life is hard. I think we make life hard based off of the inputs that we've been putting in, right? Which causes you to get off track, and now you're operating in an area or a space that you really weren't designed to be in, but now you got to make your way back, which is why I was kind of asking that question about, you know, when you're baking the brownies or whatever, once you get off, we have such a propensity to want to skip the crucial parts to keep us back on, you know, back on track. But this can be an outlet in which, or a forum in which we could really talk about, you know, hey, here's what you're doing in this season, in this moment, right? So that's really big, man. That's really big.